@MillageApps.
Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First of my good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, your weekday roundup of the day's main stories. So coming up over the next half hour, we'll hear from the Isle of Man Medical Society about that report examining the relationship between Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care. Also tonight, one MLC says it's time for a wider conversation about how constitutional changes are made. The Isle of Man Food Bank reports a surge in requests for help, but says donations aren't keeping pace. And there's a call for Christmas present donations as more families find themselves struggling financially. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you'd be more than welcome. studio@manxradio.com or you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
An MLC says there needs to be a wider conversation about how constitutional change is made by Tynwald members. Gary Clewitt's told Manx Radio he's deeply uncomfortable that matters can be decided on a 1% majority.
Surely there are certain classes of legislation that need something more than just a simple majority.
The yellow weather warning's been issued for ice patches this evening. It's in force until 3 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's likely to be a risk across the island, except for on low-lying coastal routes. The Isle of Man Medical Society says it feels vindicated by a review into Manx Care and the body's relationship with the Department of Health and Social Care. The report from the MIAA found the current model in the Isle of Man is not operating as well as originally intended following the establishment of Manx Care. Consultant radiologist Dr. Vanina Finocchi says it's time to listen to the doctors.
We never were resistant to any collaboration. I feel that just sometimes the listening part was not really there for us.
The Isle of Man Food Bank says it's been inundated with requests for help while facing a marked drop in donations. It says the number of food parcels sent out to people has jumped by about a third in 6 months. Turning to international news now, and the British government's facing anger from some Labour backbenchers while publishing plans to reform the asylum system. The new measures seek to address three major areas, including reducing arrivals, increasing removals, and providing safe and legal routes. One MP's called the changes dystopian, as the UK Prime Minister states the world has changed. BBC Chair Samir Shah's told staff there's no basis for a defamation case by Donald Trump. He's pledging to fight legal action. The president's taking over a panorama edit of one of his speeches. The corporation's apologised. And cold health alerts have been issued for parts of the UK. An amber warning's in place for Northern England until Saturday morning. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thanks very much, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And as Amy mentioned, there is that yellow weather warning for ice patches. It's from 4 o'clock today until 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. And we know there were quite a few incidents this morning that police were dealing with because there was black ice around Ballymoda and places like that. So do take care. So the general forecast, largely dry, fairly cloudy. That small risk of ice in a few places. Showers developing early tonight. Those are going to be wintry over the hills at first. The cloud will thicken to bring outbreaks of rain towards the end of the night. There'll be light to moderate winds. They'll settle to the west later and temperatures will recover slightly. And then tomorrow, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for much of the day. It'll only clear overnight into Wednesday. Moderate westerly winds, they will increase fresh to strong and top temperatures will be around 10. And there will still be a significant risk of ice overnight into Wednesday as well.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
At Zed's Bedding, we know spills, pets and kids can be tough on mattresses. Our waterproof or quilted protectors shield against everyday mess while adding comfort. Simple, effective mattress protection. Clean, fresh and longer lasting. At Zed's Bedding Ramsey.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery. Gifts for all occasions and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Cool Kill Story.
Storage. Cork-Hill Storage. Call Cork-Hill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lots. Click CorkHillRemovals.com.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5 past 5. So last week then, we brought you the news of that report that was looking into the relationship between Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care. It was the Mersey Internal Audit Agency that found the current health and social care model over here is not operating as well as originally intended following the establishment of Manx Care. It found the size and scale of the island, along with its governance and funding structures, have limited the ability of Manx Care to fully function as an independent arm's length body, and identified several fundamental issues affecting the core foundations of the current model. Well, in response to this, the Isle of Man Medical Society, a group made up of healthcare professionals on the island, says it feels vindicated that the report recognises many of the issues it's consistently identified as requiring urgent improvement. Members Dr. Prakash Tiagarajan and Dr. Viana Vanocki have been talking to Lewis.
Think of this Manx Care, the status at the moment, as a critically ill patient. What the patient needs is radical surgery, not assisted dying. That is our view.
How can you help when it comes to reform of Manx Care?
We have written to, as you know, to members of Trinwald, the Minister for Health and Social Care and the Chief Minister, offering to give our input in shaping the future structure, whatever it's called, Manx NHS, Manx DHSE or Manx Care. And we are actually furiously working on a draft reformed structure, and hopefully in the next few days we should be handing them over to the ministers, CM and Trinwald.
The only thing it's a pity to see is that this could have been a very smooth implementation or change if somebody would have listened to the Isle of Man Medical Society a bit earlier. Unfortunately, when we get these little wins, it always has to be after a strong fight. It's sometimes not necessary. We are always will be very, very happy to work with Manx Care, to work with the government, to shape what we really think should be the right healthcare, public healthcare for the Isle of Man. We never were resistant to any collaboration. I feel that just sometimes the listening part was not really there for us.
That's the members of the Isle of Man Medical Society talking to Lewis. Well, the Department of Health and Social Care says it would like to thank the Medical Society for engaging positively on this important topic and looks forward to the matter being debated at the December sitting of Trinwald. We have also approached Manx Care for comment as well. It's 7.5 minutes past 5. So what provision will there be for farmers requiring veterinary services for their livestock from the new year? It's a question on many farmers' minds at the moment. Early last week, when Milan Veterinary Practice made the announcement it would stop delivering its farming service on the island from the end of this month, there was great concern from the Manx National Farmers Union, from DEFA, the Fat Stock Marketing Association, farmers and the general public as well. And a number of organisations have been working with DEFA, and they wrote to the company, Independent Vet Care Limited, which owns Milan, to urge it to continue to deliver the service. And on Friday evening, IVL notified clients it would continue to deliver the service into December, and any changes, if they were made, would be coming in the new year. Well, in a Milan statement, it confirmed it would continue to offer its services and would provide an update early in 2026. Manx Radio's countryside presenter Kiri Kermode from Orisdale Farm in Ballasalla says while island farmers are generally now feeling less anxious, they're not quite out of the woods yet.
We're worried what is going to actually happen. You know, what is the provision of service in the long run? In the short term, we're delighted, but we're far from out of the woods on this. The community support has been absolutely fantastic on island, with the Chief Government Vet and Manx NFU, the Fat Stock Marketing Association, and other small groups. Even individuals have reached out to IVC, and I think putting the story over to them has definitely helped in the short term. I think the provision of preventative vaccine programs that have been rolled out by the veterinary officers have been really successful. So the need for treatment and use of drugs, which are expensive, has probably dropped. So I suppose a decline in the vet med income might be a problem. But generally speaking, the farmers have been working closer with their vets in the last couple of decades. They've got herd health plans, flock plans. You know, they put in provision for, you know, natural healthcare rather than potentially using some of the really, really expensive branded drugs that can bring income. But if you can use a natural remedy and have the advice from your vet in that regard, you know, it will alter probably the shift in business within veterinary clinics. And we really, really do appreciate all the work that these guys have done to support us as farmers. There's so much anxiety been going round. It will have eased, but we're still tentative of what's coming. Even ourselves, we rang other vet practices to see if they could take us on. When they indicate that they've been closed for a number of years, they've not been taken on, they can only manage so much. They haven't got an endless share of vets in their practice. It's hard to get vets to the Isle of Man to relocate here or bring their families or be a locum. You know, people come and go. It's very transient in the vets industry, seemingly. It has been really, really worrying. You know, your animals are your main priority. They're front and centre of everything you do on your farm. You want them first. So to have nothing to fall back on was really, really worrying for all of us. The 1st of January will be here before we know it. So we're going to have to make provisions. You know, some of the trust will be broken. Each farm business is very unique, very individual, but I know that they will be making their own personal fallback plans, as probably some of the other veterinary clinics. They may see opportunity in this to expand their smaller practices potentially. Good things could come from it, but who knows? In the short term, we're grateful for the emergency care that we're going to continue to receive. But after that, it's still very worrying times.
That's Manx Radio's Countryside presenter from Orrisdale Farm in Ballasalla, Kiri Kermode. It's just coming up to 11 minutes past five. Well, an MHK says it's laughable that Treasury feels bound by Tim Wood's recent vote on the minimum wage. Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper says the Treasury Minister should probably resign if he's championing a policy he disagrees with. The Manx Parliament recently agreed to increase the rate in April next year, while in the summer it backed a motion to move away from matching minimum wage to the living wage. Mr Hooper has been talking to our political correspondent Phil Gorn.
In April 2023, a jury found Vernon guilty of stealing £997,000 from his wife's grandfather.
Well, that wasn't him, was it? Let's go on to that story then. That is about the Isle of... No, it's not. I've completely lost it. Completely and utterly wrong stories there. We will just get rid of that and move on. And all will be well, and you won't even notice that that happened. The Isle of Man Food Bank says it's been inundated with requests for help while facing a marked drop in donations. The organisation, based in Douglas with northern and southern hubs, is the only food bank on the island, as Sian Cowper reports.
Operations manager Erica Irwin told BBC Isle of Man the number of food parcels sent out to people, either for a single person or for a family, has jumped by about a third in 6 months. She said they were absolutely run off their feet at the moment. The phone just never stops, but they were receiving a lot less food. The Douglas Hub is currently sending out between 80 and 90 food parcels a week, which could be made up for one person or a family. There was a marked rise, Ms Irwin said, from 6 months ago, when they were sending out between 50 and 60 packages per week. Across the whole charity, with branches in Ramsey and Port Erin, this number has doubled. Ms Irwin described a situation where the food bank was inundated with people requesting help and everyday firefighting. While the Manx public are amazing at giving to charities, Ms Irwin said, the current financial climate has meant people had less to spare. She said everybody's tightening their belts, which means giving less away, understandably, but we are feeling that impact. The food bank is particularly in need of jarred sauces, tinned food and freeze-dried food packets. Ms Irwin said many of the people they help may not have access to ovens or may struggle due to illnesses. Therefore, food that could be made using a kettle or a microwave were especially useful. There is a supermarket donations drive scheduled for the end of November, aiming to boost stocks ahead of Christmas.
Sian Cowper reporting on the right story there, and you can find more details about donating to the Isle of Man Food Bank on the charity's Facebook page.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So nothing specific to report on the roads, but just be aware, as we say, of that yellow weather warning for icy patches a little bit later. There are temporary lights on the Prom at the Church Road Marina Roundel. That's for work on the pedestrian crossing there. In Onchan, temporary lights on the King Edward Road at Port Jack. Also in Onchan, lights on King Edward Road between Groudle and the Old Liverpool Arms. And in Crosby all this week, temporary lights on the Ayrton Road. That's for manhole repairs. All looking okay down at the airport and at the steam packet. The Manxman is due in any time around now, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
So Tynwald sits tomorrow, not the biggest order paper, but there are potentially some contentious issues nonetheless. Christian is with me now. Fast to my Christian, you'll be down there in the chamber tomorrow. What do you think the standout items are then?
Yeah, fast to my Beth. Well, perhaps the most controversial item on the agenda will undoubtedly be this combined vote on the North West area plan. You may remember last month a shock vote that saw the government defeated by LegCo, no less. So whether the Cabinet Office Minister David Ashford has had time or the political leverage to persuade MLCs to back the proposals this time round is still very much an open question.
So we'll keep an eye out for that one. Anything else jumping out from the order paper?
A couple of big ones. There's a major motion from Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas calling for a select committee to examine whether the island needs an independent review or even a full public inquiry into how the financial services and e-gaming sectors are regulated. And given how central both industries are to the economy, that has the potential to spark a little bit of weighty debate, I suppose. And housing services again too, there's a proposal that would allow local authorities to charge owners of empty or dilapidated properties, including off-island landlords, with the aim of reducing long-term vacancy rates. We know Treasury has already have some of that in the works at the moment, so I think this is Joni Farragher's motion, but it looks like it's not just restricted to being exempt from rates, but rather enabling local authorities to effectively fine landlords by the looks of things.
Okay, so that's the order paper. We start off, as always, though, with questions. Again, not the longest paper, but some timely topics.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll start with question time, like you say. That one starts with an urgent question on Milan Vets, though, of course, that was lodged before the U-turn. Beyond that, though, there's a renewed focus on GP access. Ministers are expected to be pressed on the target GP to patient ratio, what recruitment looks like across Manx care and independent surgeries. Minimum wage comes up again too, specifically whether the recent rise could squeeze opportunities for younger workers entering the job market next summer. And of course, MyCard is back. Treasury's being asked once more what backstops will actually be in place for those without bank accounts from the start of January. That deadline is fast approaching, so I expect backbenchers will be anticipating some fairly concrete answers there.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. As we say, Christian will be reporting from Tynwald tomorrow. And we'll have a little update on tomorrow's programme about how things have been going, and you can follow it online as well. 17 minutes past five. Well, an MLC that brought forward an amendment to the bill that would remove the Bishop's Tynwald vote says he's deeply uncomfortable deciding constitutional matters on a 1% majority. Gary Cluett gained support in the Legislative Council for his amendment to the Constitution Bill that'll see the Bishop retain the vote for 5 years or until the current post holder leaves her role if that is supported by MHKs when it goes back to the House of Keys. But Mr. Cluett told Phil Gawne there needs to be a wider conversation about how such changes are made.
I believe it inherently unfair to change somebody's job description essentially while they're in post. You're hired on one set of conditions and then change them in post. It has never sat well with me in any circumstance. And so I was quite happy to introduce an amendment to at least provide several things. One is a transition period, which we need for several reasons. If the easy thing to have done would have just been to stay quiet and send the thing for royal assent and it would have all been over, but not knowing when that royal assent might come, and it could be 2 months, 4 months, we have no idea. The stumbling block for me on that is just not having anything like a date certain, so that nobody could plan for it. And, you know, if we're going to do this, overall, you know, I think I said early on in the clauses thing, one of the things that I have great discomfort with is it's called the Isle of Man Constitution Bill. This is a constitutional matter. And I am deeply uncomfortable with deciding constitutional matters on a 51% majority vote. You know, we've seen what happens when you do with these very, very close issues that are quite divisive, and you do that. So I think there's a wider conversation that needs to be held amongst all of the members about what do we do about that. Surely there are certain classes of legislation that need something more than just a simple majority.
That's Gary Cluett, MLC, who is talking to Phil Gawne. You can hear much more about that on Agenda, which is coming up next. It's a really big conversation, this Bishop's Vote one, and it will be interesting to see what happens when it comes back to the House of Keys, probably next week. It's coming up to 20 past five, and the Salvation Army is appealing for people to donate gifts to children this holiday season. season. And this is to make sure families who are struggling financially can enjoy the Christmas time. Debbie White and Captain Rachel Nevode have been talking to Christy.
Toys can be donated to any of the Isle of Man Bank branches or the Entertainer on Strand Street. Yeah, we're really excited once again about this Christmas, and we're really grateful to the Isle of Man public. They are so generous. Every year we get ourselves into a little bit of a panic thinking we're never going to have enough as all of the referrals come in, but every year we always do. And so yeah, we're relying on the Manx public to be generous as always and to give in our toy appeal.
I mean, do you know how many referrals you tend to get on a yearly basis?
We usually have around 500 children that are referred to us every year, from birth right up to 16 year olds. So yeah, it's quite a significant number, and they get a whole Santa sack of toys, lots of different things, from colouring books to teddy bears to Lego set and everything in between.
What do you usually need more of? What are you usually short of each year?
There's usually a couple of things. Baby toys. Toys for children, for babies under 12 months especially. We always tend to be short of those. We always say, remember the teenagers. We know they're difficult to buy for, but toiletries and hats, scarves, gloves, socks, things like that are great for the teens. And chocolate. Who doesn't love a bar of chocolate? And sometimes, actually, we find a difficult age group around 9, 10-year-olds, especially boys.
I have nephews. I know how difficult that is.
Lego is always a great option.
And of course, they all need to be new, don't they? And unopened.
Yeah, absolutely. New and unopened. It's what we would want to give to our children. And we want to value our community and the kids that we're supporting.
And Debbie, this must make a huge difference to families.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference, because when you're struggling with money worries is actually, how am I going to put something under the Christmas tree? And so, it's just amazing that the Manx public always come through for us.
That's Debbie White and Captain Rachel Nevode talking to Christy about the Salvation Army present appeal. You can find out much more on the Manx Radio website. 21 and a half minutes past five. Well, the organisation Brighter Teaching came to the Isle of Man in 2023. But before then, anyone on the island wishing to become a Level 5 qualified counsellor had to complete their studies off-island. Alicia Gilbertson and Susie Lyons are part of the first cohort of students who are close to achieving their Level 5 diplomas. And they've been talking to Lewis about why they think being able to stay and complete this work over here is a positive thing.
In terms of getting trained, the option to go off island, it wasn't for me, because I have a house and a mortgage, bills to pay. So this almost felt like a bit of a dream come true, being able to study on island, not have to go off island to get to classes. It was, it just felt like it came about at the right time, and it was a great way for people who maybe didn't want to follow it, nursing, to get into sort of a therapeutic role.
Alicia, was a similar scenario for you. Did you look at off-island options first?
Yeah, so I've actually completed a master's degree in psychology, and at that time I was quite 50-50 on whether to stay on island or whether to leave, because I am quite settled on the Isle of Man, and there wasn't really much funding available to stay on the Isle of Man, so I kind of had to leave. Whereas with Brighter Teaching, similar to what you said, I've got a house, got mortgage, dog, married, quite settled here, so it just kind of fit in with the life I want to live on the Isle of Man.
I really like the idea of talk and therapy. I think it's always going to be something that we're going to need, and probably more so now than ever.
Why do you think that is, just out of interest?
I just think people need to have a safe space to go and talk. They need to be, there's lots of things going on in the world. Things are tough. Would like to see more men access and support as well. I just think, from young people all the way up, I just think everybody does need to have that opportunity, and having more therapists just means that we can see more people.
I think as well with the course, it's perfect at presenting that opportunity to people who would make great counsellors who might not have had the opportunity to do so otherwise, and whether that's because of their family situation, financial situation, or like we said, just not wanting to leave the island. But there's people out there who would make fantastic counsellors, and by Tommy bringing this course to the island, it's giving a lot of people the opportunity to go for it and in a way give back to the Manx public.
That's Alicia Gilbertson and Susie Lyons there. Now, we were going to hear from Laurie Hooper a little bit earlier about the minimum wage. Here he is talking to Phil.
But the idea that the Treasury is bound or feel bound in any way, I think, is a bit laughable. But the reality is they've had alternative proposals presented to them. I presented one myself that said, let's phase this in two steps to give businesses more time to adjust. And that was thrown out. I said we should put some business support in place for these, and they've threw that out as well. Treasury have had things presented to them in terms of options, and they have steadfastly said, no, this is the right approach. And if the minister is proposing and actively championing a policy he fundamentally disagrees with, then he should probably resign. That's the way you do it. You say, no, I'm sorry, but I can't support that policy. I don't think it's good for the island, and I'm not going to be the one responsible for it. And you hold your hands up and you say, Chief Minister, get someone else to do it. If the blocker really is the Council of Ministers, that is an option open to the Treasury Minister. Yeah.
If every minister in Council of Ministers that ever there has been had resigned because they disagreed fundamentally with a particular direction that council was going, you wouldn't have had any MHKs left to stand, to be a minister.
I think that's kind of the problem with the system, is that when you get elected, you know, most people that get elected haven't had any experience with an organisation of that size or complexity, or even with parliamentary process itself. And so you walk in and immediately you can be thrust into a department and you get stuck in with the operational stuff, stuck in running a department. Then you end up, you know, being appointed minister, and that hasn't changed. So you're still very much focused on your department, but there isn't any support there, political support. So you're in there alone with what you might think of as your ideas and your ways to go and do things, but you're facing a kind of the inertia of, well, this is what we've always done, and this is the way we do things, and this is the advice we've got for you, and this is the government process. And overcoming a lot of that can be quite difficult. It's quite daunting. And so what inevitably happens is you get a sort of form of regulatory capture, where going in as a minister, all of a sudden you are not really there leading the ship. You're making the decisions, but based on advice and information you've been given by the status quo, almost. So changing things is quite hard.
That is Laurie Hooper, who was talking there to Phil Gorn. You can hear more in the latest episode of Perspective. We have invited Treasury and the Treasury Minister to respond to those comments. 26 minutes past five, sport time now with Darren Fastermy.
And starting with some TT news, Isle of Man star Connor Cummins has announced he'll be entering his own team for 2026. Conrad Motorsport, inspired by his coffee brand, will debut at next year's event, 20 years on after he first rode on the mountain course. Initially, Conrad will compete in the two Superstock TT races, while Cummins will review his options for the Superbike and Supersport classes. Connor said, "I'm really looking forward to the new challenge of running my own team." In football, PL have climbed to second place in the Canada Life Premier League table and are now 4 points behind leaders Corinthians with a game in hand on the Whites. They beat St Mary's on a rain-affected Saturday, which saw 9 games postponed due to waterlogged pitches. Elsewhere, Union Mills and Rushden drew 1-1, while Braddon hosted Ayr in an 8-goal thriller with the game ending 4-all. In the Arden and Drogon Division 2, Castletown missed a chance to extend their lead in the table after leading Rycop 2-1. They fell to a second-half comeback and the teams drew 3-all. Elsewhere, St George's beat Douglas and District 2-0. In hockey, the Mixed Cup finals have been confirmed. Backers A beat Valkyrie 4-1 to set up a meeting with Castletown Celts after the Southerners thrashed Vikings B 9-0. Backers C will face Valkyrie B in the mixed plate after wins over Ramsey A and Harlequins B respectively. And Valkyrie D beat Vikings D on flicks to set up a final in the mixed ball against Castletown Camags. And in rugby, Vagabonds finally secured their first win of the 25-26 season. They beat Duncanfield 15-5 in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. And you can find all the very latest sports news on the Manx Radio website in the sports section. We've also got the Manx Radio Sports Facebook page as well. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Thank you very much indeed for your company and for not noticing the slightly technical hitch earlier. Coming up next, it is Agenda, as I mentioned, with Phil, and there'll be more discussion about the future of the Bishop's Vote. That's with the MLC, Gary Clewitt. As I say, it's been through Legislative Council now, that bill heading back to the House of Keys, where we'll find out what's going to happen next. At 6 then, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. Time for Brass with Ian Cottier is at 9. And then Ree will be with you from 10 with After Hours. We will be back with Update at 5 tomorrow. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you then.
When couples decide to part, there's a lot to deal with. There's the matter of the children, the matter of your property, the matter of pensions. You need to consider the matter of existing wills, and perhaps the matter of a business. And because you matter, Mann Benham Advocates are here for you when it comes to divorce and family matters. For help and advice and a free initial consultation, call Mann Benham on 639 350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality
have your say. The Council of Ministers has accepted a proposal for an offshore wind farm off the Isle of Man for examination. Take part in a public consultation and tell us what you think about the application from Moore Vannin Offshore Wind Farm Limited. Go online at mima.gov.im to find out more. You can also respond directly at